This morning we are continuing our series, as you see on our bulletin cover from our mission statement, Faith Covenant Church is a community of journeying believers, intentionally connected, growing in Christ, and sharing His love with the world. This month we're talking about growing in Christ. And this morning you've probably gathered from the songs that we sang that we are going to talk about growing through God's Word. We sang wonderful words of life, thy word, every promise, thy word of God, the word of God is alive. We have these wonderful promises, and we sing about them. We hear in Psalm 1 that if we give ourselves to the study of God's word, we are like a tree planted by streams of water that yields fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and all that it does prospers. We have Jesus' words in Matthew 4:4, where he's quoting from Deuteronomy, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. What a wonderful privilege we have to have God's scripture. So this morning, I want to talk a little bit about how do we use this scripture to grow. Now, we have probably a danger in our lives, sort of magical thinking about the word of God, that if we have probably enough versions of it around the house, or if it sits on our counter next to our bedstand, or even if we just pass our eyes over these words, that there will be some kind of growth that will take place. And that's not necessarily so. The Bible has no magical powers apart from how we allow it to work in our lives. And I think anybody that's tried to read through Scripture thinking that was going to be a real growth experience, when you get to Leviticus and Deuteronomy, instead of the bread of heaven, it's the sand of the desert. And we're trying to figure out, how is this helping us grow? Well, this morning, I want to look a little bit more carefully at how we can rightly study the Word of God. Now, allow me an illustration. And this may be a bit of a stretch, but it is the season. And as a White Sox fan, I'm going to really go out on a limb here and support your Cub enthusiasm, because if you stayed up late Thursday night, that was a great game. We'll forget last night. But anyways, let's talk about baseball. And the analogy I'd like to talk about is getting around the bases. Now, we all know a hit is good. We all know a single is good. And yet, you could get a single every inning of the game. You could have 9 hits and never score. Never get a run in. In fact, it's kind of sad, you know, single after single after single, maybe inning after inning after inning. So I want to talk this morning about how the Scripture cannot just get us to first or second or third, but all the way back home, so that we might grow in our faith, that we might experience what Scripture has for us. The Scripture we're going to look at this morning is 2 Timothy 3:16. So if you have your Bibles and you want to turn with me, we're just going to look at two verses this morning, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, and allow me to read them this morning. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God might be complete, equipped for every good work. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that in these next few moments, we might open our hearts to hear how you would like us to explore Scripture, how you would like us to apply Scripture so that we might grow in our faith. Help us to hear what your Spirit is speaking to each one of us here this morning as we give ourselves to the hearing of your word. Amen. First of all, I'd just like to say two things about the word all. It says all Scripture, all Scripture. And I think that's a reminder to us that we can't pick and choose our favorite parts. And we can't pick and choose what it is we respond to. I'm reminded of a message that was given here at this church. And it was Jesus talking to the Canaanite woman who came seeking healing. And if you remember, the story is Jesus rebuked her and said, "What part have I with you?" Since she was a Gentile. And then, of course, she said, even the dogs get the crumbs from the table. I remember walking away, and that later that week, someone here from the church said, "I don't like that passage. I think Jesus was wrong." Now, that hit my ears a little differently than how I grew up. I didn't get the privilege of deciding when Jesus was right and when Jesus was wrong. But here was someone that just didn't like that passage and didn't like that way Jesus had responded. And yet he had not pursued and penetrated and figured out what Jesus was about there. So he was going to pick and choose which parts of the scripture he was going to respond to. And I think we're all tempted to do that. We're all tempted to explain away something we don't like. But the scripture reminds us that all scripture is given for our benefit. And the ones that we struggle with the most might be the ones we need to hear and learn from the most. I also just want to touch briefly on all scripture. We could spend a whole message this morning to realize how we got this Bible, how it became part of the canon, why these scriptures are special, why these are God-inspired, what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit, what it means to be God-directed and fallible in faith and practice. But for this morning's purpose, I'm just going to take it for granted that we have a gift from our Heavenly Father that He's given to us, called the Bible, that's given to us so that we might grow. Well, how are we going to grow? Let's look at the very first word here. It says, it is profitable for teaching. Teaching. The whole scripture, the teaching of the whole scripture is the redemption of man. From Jesus reaching into the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve to Revelations, when he takes us home, the entire message of the scripture is Jesus bringing, or God bringing us to him through Jesus, through his death on the cross, his burial, his resurrection, that we've understood the gospel message, the good news that we can be with Jesus Christ forever, that God has come to redeem us. And in my own understanding, I came to that early in life. Most of us grew up in Christian homes, and I heard that message. I heard that teaching from the earliest childhood. And I remember coming in junior high, making a final decision to put my life into God's hands. And I think everyone that's a believer here this morning could tell that story. You could tell what was that moment. And maybe for some of you, you grew up in the church and you don't ever remember a moment you didn't believe. And others of us can remember when we had to make that decision and anchored our life in God forever. Now, this is a total aside. I just heard this in the past week. There was a large survey being done in a church. And they had part of the survey was asking the 20 high schoolers, had they ever heard how it was that their parents came to Christ? 0 of those kids could remember what it was exactly that led the testimony of their parents. I encourage you, if you're a parent, make that part of your conversation today. Tell your kids how it is that you made that decision. Mine was in that junior high, and I can tell you when it happened, where it happened, and what that meant to me, and how my life was changed. But let's make sure that we tell the next generation how it is that we found the gospel, how it is that we were taught the words of Scripture that led us to life. Now, in my analogy, that's getting to first base. That's getting to first base. We got a hit. We're on base. We heard the gospel. We responded to the teaching of Scripture. But how do we get to second base? Well, let's look at the next word here. It's not only Bible's not only profitable for teaching, but for reproof. Reproof. Now, that's not so much of a fun word. Teaching we could take, especially when it's the gospel, the good news of Jesus, but reproof. It's telling us where we fall short. And you and I know, it's nothing that we don't know. Romans 3:23 reminds us that we all fall short. So, what is it? Where do I fall short? Where do you fall short? Each of us are different. Each of us have our own weaknesses and our own ways that we've allowed Satan maybe to get in and lever in our lives or things that we've confronted unsuccessfully. Let me give you 3 examples from my own life where I've experienced the reproof of Scripture. And one is I go all the way back to high school because I think it's the first time I really felt reproved by Scripture. And I have to tell you a little bit of the story. I'm a high school junior, and I'm an athlete, and I work real hard, and I was playing basketball here at Wheaton Academy. And I was in the scoring race in our conference, and I was just ahead of this gentleman from Ileana, and we were going to play. It was late in the season. We were going to play them that night. So not only was I needing to win this game from Ileana, I had to defend this guy and keep his scoring down, and I had to keep my scoring up. if I was going to win the league title. And sure enough, we go to their house. It's a away game. It's their homecoming. And late in the first half, I'm playing defense. I back up. I get a charge. But I also get a knee right in the thigh. Just knee on his layup. And it tightening up. I'm sitting in halftime, and it's tightening up, and the bruise is forming. And I'm sitting there, and I can hardly make it work. Sure enough, the second half, I'm hobbling. I can't stop him. I can't score. I go home that night. I go to bed. I'm miserable. I sleep in the next morning. I wake up with this throbbing in my thigh. And I think, hey, wait a minute. I've heard that the Bible brings great comfort. I was doing that magical thinking. And I also remembered hearing some stories where people just opened the Bible and the magic word came out. You know, you ever heard those stories? I just grabbed the Bible and there it was sitting right there, and it was just what I needed to hear. So I turned to the Bible. I was laying in my bed still, feeling sorry for myself, feeling hurt, feeling pained. And here's what I did. I opened up to Psalm 34, and this is what it said. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. You big baby. You and your first world problems. You have a body. You have a school. You have the ability to play sports. And I just start going down that line. I was so humiliated. How could I be complaining about anything? The rebuke of Scripture. Or I'll give you another one. If you know me well or you know my family, I have a temper. I've always had a temper. In fact, my sisters were convinced I was going to be in juvenile hall or maybe even prison, and they'd be visiting me someday because my temper would get out of control as a youth. And of course, what did the Scripture say? In Proverbs 14:7, it says, man with a quick temper is a fool. Gene Frost is a fool. Or how about this? Throughout my life, I've been challenged by spending quiet time with the Lord. Did you ever have that challenge in a scripture or a study? Or have you ever had the scripture tell you to spend quiet time with the Lord? Well, I knew that was right. I remember John 15, abide, just rest. Abide in the Lord and his word and his study. And I always thought that was so good. I was just like that person that tries to be on a diet. I tried everything. I tried this formula. I tried this book. I tried this. I tried this. I tried this. It's like being on that diet for, I do it for a week. I do it for a month. I do it for 3 months. I might even get 6 months. But it never felt like abiding, and it never felt regular, and it never felt like part of my lifestyle. A failure. A failure. Well, in my analogy, I'm standing on second base. I've been reproved. I got from first. I'm a believer. I got the second. I'm reproved. But I'll tell you that, you know what the greatest tragedy of how to end an inning is? Leaving a man standing on second. You get him on, you get him over, and you don't get him in. And you know what? You're actually farther from home on second than it even feels like on first. Well, I'm not going to leave you there, because neither is Paul, because he's going to show you that there's a third base. A third word here, and it's called correction. Correction. You see, the Lord doesn't leave you on second base being reproved. He gives you correction. How to make it right. So let me tell you the rest of the story. Okay? Let's go back to Psalm 34. Listen to the next three verses. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Look to him and be radiant, so your faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his trouble. The Bible not only showed me where I was being selfish and petty, it showed me how to respond and look to Christ and realize the riches I have in him. What about my temper? Well, you know, it did say in Proverbs about being a fool if you act out on that, but you know what it also says? It says in Ephesians 4:26, be angry and sin not. You know what relief that is for a rageaholic? You can be angry. You can be angry. You can catch yourself getting angry. You just can't sin. And so I spent my life, and I started out saying, how can I divide? How can I start dividing my trigger reaction to start saying, okay, I feel that, I hear that, but I'm not going to sin. I'm going to start, whether it's starting to count to 10 or start to reflect or start to think or start to behave in different ways and not respond and not give in to that temptation, I started dividing that out. I started realizing that God, through the Holy Spirit, has control of my anger. I then took another step when it says there's sometimes that things that make God angry, and that's righteous indignation, that's okay. But that's separate from selfish, impetuous anger. And so I began a life of correction. I think my greatest success came in when I was trading in the trading pits of Chicago. I was in there with several hundred traders. And we were arguing over thousands and tens of thousands of dollars, and fights would break out, and arguments would break out. And I sold you that. No, you didn't. And that was 15. No, it was 50. And we just, the thing, you know, it was crazy. And after 2 years of trading in that pit, an altercation broke out that I was involved in. The pit kind of separated with this altercation with this other gentleman, and it was it played itself out. And the rest of that morning, people came up to me and said, Gene, we don't know what that was about, but we know you were right because you never get angry. Correction. And finally, abiding. Abiding. It took me 53 years to get this right. So don't be discouraged. Either those that are on a diet or those that are trying to abide in Scripture. Keep trying. And here's what it was. I had learned in my life to run my life right up to the last minute of the day. I also learned my life to get up at the very last minute in the morning. You know, there's no time for abiding in that schedule. If you're getting up at the last minute and you're going to bed at the last hour, there is no room for abiding. So somebody gave me this profound, complicated formula for success. Are you ready for it? Set your alarm 15 minutes early. That's it. I had perfected the time I needed to get up to be where I needed to be, whether it was breakfast or work or work. And so I perfected that. And I just could never figure out how to fit God into that. Well, just set your alarm 15 minutes early. So 15 minutes before that last minute. And here it is. I was 53 years old. That was 12 years ago. I've kept a card for every month of the year. There's 12 years of cards checking off when I get up in the morning. Did I get up 15 minutes early? Did I get into Scripture? Did I study? Did I get a chance to pray? Did I get a chance to abide? It took me 53 years. But I got to correct it. So Scripture doesn't leave us on second base. It corrects us and we get to third. Now, one more step. How do we get home? Well, we've experienced the calling of the Holy Spirit when we heard the good news of the teaching of the gospel. We've experienced the conviction of the Holy Spirit when he reproved us and told us where we fall short. We've experienced the correction of the Holy Spirit when he showed us how to make it right. And finally, if you look at this last thing it does for us, the study of Scripture, it's for training in righteousness. And righteousness, simple definition of righteousness, is right living. If you got in the game on first base, and by the way, I went past this real quick. I'm not disparaging singles. What happened if you hit a single last night? You were playing in the World Series. You get that single. That is getting in the game. That means you'll never get out of the game. That means God will hold on to you forever. You understood the gospel. You're on first base. You've let the gospel speak to you and reprove you. And you're on second. You've been corrected. You've made the changes you need. And now you're ready to go home. Right living, righteous living. This is the sanctification. That's a big complicated theological word. The sanctification of the Spirit. You've heard the call of the Spirit, the conviction of the Spirit, the leading of the Spirit, and now the sanctification of the Spirit. This is how Scripture helps us grow. And look at the results. Look what it means. It's not just a home, getting home or scoring a run. This is what it will do for you. In verse 17, that the man or woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. That's what the Scriptures can do for you. That's what growing through the Scriptures can do. That you will be complete, ready for anything. This means that you will have the chance to experience any challenge, any temptation, any trial, that you can use Scripture to help you work through that and grow in Christ. So we have this promise of Scripture, that all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for the training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God might be complete, equipped for every good work. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the gift of the Scriptures. Help us to open ourselves up to it. Help us to read the good news, the gospel message of salvation, and to share that with others. Help us to hear when it reproves us, and then how to correct us. And Lord, the goal is not just for our self-betterment, but so that we might be living right lives, righteous lives, sanctified lives, that we can be complete for those around us, for our family, for our church, and ready for every good work that you've given us to do. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.